welcome back to it. It's the No Panic Zone on a Friday. Good to have you here. It's the Steve Gruber Show. You can always find out more at stevegruber.com. There on the other end of the blinking line, there's a blinking light, and I have a caller. And look, everybody, to the joy of everyone, it's Ivy. Ivy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, you know, and you had said, what do you want to talk about? Well, there's something that comes to mind here because I was talking about with some folks yesterday, and I'm curious what your opinion is, but they were talking about Governor Northam in Virginia announced yesterday that a Robert E. Lee statue that stands in downtown Richmond, big statue, the statue itself is like 15 feet high, it's bronze, and it stands on a 50-foot piece of granite. So it's quite mm-hmm. an imposing historical figure. It was put there in 1890. And so I was asked, well, what do you think of that? They're tearing it down. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. They were shocked that I was okay with it. But let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. I don't have an issue at all with tearing down statues of those that took up arms against the United States. I think Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and others, fascinating historical figures, were also traitors. Robert E. Lee may have graduated first in his class at West Point, and I congratulate him for that, but they were traitors. You know, in 1975, though, Joe Biden and others voted to give him his citizenship back 110 years after the end of the Civil War and about 90-some years after he had died. Robert E. Lee got his citizenship back in the United States. Well, I don't know what you think about all these monuments being torn down. I think the other school of thought is that you're erasing history, which I think is a concern. What do you think?
Right, and that's what I was going to say, Steve, is that, you know, I understand your point, you know, in terms of it being him being a traitor to the country, and therefore why did we erect this statue of him? But to what degree does that, like just like you said, erase history, and how many conversations were had because someone stood in front of that statue and then it was explained to them what occurred. And not only that, but if you start at removing one set of statues, then what is limiting removing any other statue as well, or memorials or anything else? And that's my concern. Robert E. Lee, like him or hate him, he was a traitor. But it is part of our history and an important one.
And so, I agree with that. And when you erase history, so my point to the folks is, if you want these statues, that's fine. But I do point out that the majority of the Confederate statues in the southern United States were put up not just a couple of years, but decades after the end of the Civil War. They certainly weren't put up in the 1860s or 70s. Mm-hmm. That Robert E. Lee statue in Richmond went up in 1890, many more went up years later, because we don't celebrate those that tried to destroy the country. We don't celebrate those who took up arms against the United States. We don't celebrate those that fight against us. We don't have statues of Germans and Japanese generals. We don't have statues mm-hmm. of Mexican generals that we went to war with. You know, we don't have Santa Ana, mm-hmm. you know, statues in Texas.
Sure. I can't imagine that perplexing. Germany has a statue of Hitler.
Well, exactly. Or Tojo or Santa Ana or any of the folks, Pancho Villa, any of the folks we went to war with. We don't put up statues to those sure. folks in different parts of the country. And so, to me, it's always been unusual that we had these. Now, having said all that, the statues exist. They're great works of art, some of them. If they go to a mm-hmm. private collection, that's fine. If they go to museums, that's also fine. I think that history must be preserved. But in mm-hmm. this particular case, I don't know that it needs to be preserved in the city square.
Well, I would agree with you there, Steve, in that regard. I mean, maybe it is a more appropriate place for it in a museum or something to that degree. But, yeah, I think that, you know, it is a piece of history, and it is important to a story to be told. And, I mean, because these statues had already been there, I mean, what's the cost in removing them? And I think we're getting a little bit in the weeds in that regard. But, you know, it just to me, seems like if it's there, to me, leave it. There's, you know, but let's not create new ones. You know what I mean? Or like you said, we can move it into a museum.
And the other part of all this is that it's Governor Northam, the one removing him in Virginia, is the irony there is thick, because here's a guy who has been busted with blackface and the Ku Klux Klan outfit and so on, and should not be in office based on the attitudes of the Democrat Party when it comes to anybody else that would have behaved that way. But because he's a liberal Democrat, they gave him a pass of putting on blackface and a Ku Klux Klan outfit as a quote-unquote joke when he was in college, mm-hmm. not as a young man, but as a in graduate school. You know, so it's baffling.
Right, and I think that, you know, the whole thing in regards to blackface, you know, maybe I'm wrong here, but it was that like a selective something that a lot of people did during that time period that may have been accepted, and now as society we've grown and we said, no, that's obviously not acceptable and not, you know, it can show signs of racism or things like that. But, yeah, I mean, obviously he's a Democrat. He gets a pass. And, you know,
that's
they don't
the way it
question
works.
Him in that regard. Just like they don't question Joe Biden. It's
well, that's right.
The whole Kavanaugh and the sexual assault thing. It's,
there
you
go.
They treat one select, the Democrats treat Democrats one way, and then the Democrats treat the Republicans as
a completely
if they're
different way.
A criminal.
Listen, if they didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all. That's the bottom line. Anyway.
Well, there's truth to that.
Yeah. I got to leave it there, my dear. Thank you so much for being here, as always. Ivy bringing sunshine and light to the show on a Friday. Thank you so much.
Enjoy your weekend.
Of course. There you have it. It's the No Panic Zone. You can always find out more at stevegruber.com, stevegruber.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Ivy really is the one driving this bus most days, make no mistake. She's been the executive producer here for a number of years now and does a bang-up job. To say the least. It's the No Panic Zone heading toward the back end of hour number two. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan